Good morning, Amazing Grace. Still morning? Yep, by 1 minute. All right. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to gather in your house today to give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for the message that we are about to receive from you. And we thank you for the power of your word that changes lives from the inside out. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every opportunity you give us to be a witness for you, Lord, and to be a living witness and to walk the right path, the path of righteousness that leads to you. Father, may you bless all those who couldn't be here today. Bless all those who are struggling with sickness. Bless all those you call your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Speaking of children, sermon's title today is Imitating the Father, right? And I think that a lot of times that's what children do, is they'll imitate the Father, right? So I think as children of God, we should be doing the same, all right? Amen? Amen. Some months ago, we heard a touching story about this humble pastor whose son had become very ill. And after the boy had undergone an exhaustive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. He wasn't going to live. The youngster had accepted Christ, though, as his Savior. Amen? Praise God for that. And so the pastor knew that death was going to usher him into glory. Amen? But he wondered how he was going to tell his son that in the bloom of his young life, he would soon die. And so, after earnestly seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit, amen, he went with a heavy heart through the hospital ward to sit at his son's bedside. And first he read a passage of scripture to him. Then he had a time of prayer with his child, his dear child. Then he gently told him that the doctors could promise him only a few more days to live. And he asked his son, he said, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus, my son?" And the son, blinking away a few tears, he said bravely to his dad, he said, "No, not if he's like you, Dad." Amen. Not if he's like you. That was his real father. That was his spiritual father. And he was about to meet God the Father. Amen. So praise God for that. It's a celebration of life. Amen. That's what we like to call it, right? Celebration of life. So praise God. Last week in our text, Paul had said to the Corinthians, sarcastically, if you remember, he said, "You already have all you want. Already you've become rich. You have begun to reign and all that without us." Talking about the apostles. Amen. And in contrast, he said, "We apostles are fools for Christ. But you are so wise in Christ that you don't even need me, your spiritual father, anymore. Because we are weak, you are strong. You are honored and we are not. We're in rags, we're cursed, we're homeless. We become the scum of this earth and we become the garbage of this world, according to you." Paul had rebuked their pride in their false teachers, their spiritual fathers, or so they thought. He said, "You set yourselves beyond others, which is the fruit of false doctrine." He said, "You think you've arrived and that you no longer need a spiritual father, but you do." And so he appeals to them and he warns them in today's text as their spiritual father. He's speaking to them. Amen. He says in the first verse, he says, "I'm writing you this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Paul was walking the walk, walking the talk. Amen? Walking the walk and walking the talk. Paul said, "I'm not saying this to shame you. This is a warning." He loved them, right? He's telling them, this is a warning. With this sarcastic speech that he just gave, he knew these Corinthians that they might feel some shame, right? Because it would be humiliating for anyone to be spoken that way by their spiritual father. Amen? It'd be humiliating, okay? But you see, Paul wasn't trying to shame the Corinthians. He was trying to warn them of a spiritual danger that was alive and well in Corinth. Amen? And that spiritual danger was pride. Pride was alive and well in Corinth. You guys know Muhammad Ali, right? There he is. Muhammad Ali, the great boxer. He was never known for being a humble person, right? We know that, right? Amen? In fact, one time they said he was on an airplane and he kept saying, like he always said, "I'm the greatest," right? "I'm the greatest." And the flight attendant looked at him one time and said that he saw that he didn't have a seatbelt fastened. So she said to him, "Mr. Ali, you need to fasten your seatbelt." And Ali responded, "Superman don't need no seatbelt," right? And the flight attendant replied, "Superman don't need no airplane either, but you need to put your seatbelt on." Amen? Right? I don't know if Ali was much of a saint, but he was pretty proud. We know that. Amen? And you see, the devil loves a proud saint more than anybody else because he can manipulate them and use them. Amen? He loves a proud saint. And do you know why pride is such a dangerous thing in our lives? Because we could be living right in the middle of it and not even know it. We could be living it out, acting it out, talking it out, and not even know it. Amen? And so I'm sure the Corinthians, just like any of us, they had 1,000 excuses for their pride. Amen? Because we always have an excuse for our pride. But Paul was going to confront them. He was going to say, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, but you only have one Father, and that's in me, he told them. Amen? One Father. He said, I started this church. I led everybody to Jesus. I am your spiritual father. That's why he's writing them this letter. So he tells them, I beg of you, listen to your spiritual father and imitate me. Imitate me, right? What a thing to say, right? They probably smirked at Paul's letter and said, you want us to imitate, remember what we just covered, right? The one that said that he's weak, dishonored, hungry, in rags, homeless, and persecuted? Are you crazy? You want me to imitate that? People look at you as the garbage of the world, and you want us to imitate Paul. You want us to imitate you. Paul's saying, yes, imitate me, not because of my difficulties, but despite my difficulties. Amen? Despite my difficulties. He said, because of those difficulties, the power and the glory of Jesus will shine through you as well. That's how God works. Amen? He shines through our difficulties and through our problems. Amen? He builds us up. You see, back in Paul's day, there was no printing press. So Paul couldn't hand out Bibles to everybody like we do today, or tracts. But he would tell them, he would say, I want you to imitate me. When you hear me preach, when you see the way I live my life, I want you to imitate me. And that's something that we should all be able to do in our lives. Amen? To live a righteous life and be able to tell our friends and our family, imitate me. Right? Imitate what I'm doing. What would Jesus do, right? What would Jesus do? We don't want to just go around saying that. We want to be living that so that we can say, imitate me, especially to our children and our grandchildren. Amen? Be an example for them. Paul was able to tell these Corinthians, look at me and imitate me. I hope we can do the same thing in our lives. Are you able to be the spiritual father or mother, amen, that somebody needs in their life today? Right? We all know somebody who's unchurched and lost. Can we be their spiritual parent? Amen? Are you able to be a spiritual leader in God's church even? Right? There's a lot of room for that too. Are we going to be a spiritual leader in God's church? All right, this is for everybody who likes Oreos, okay? There you go. Recently, a father sat down with his 4-year-old son and he asked him if he would like the $10 he had in this hand or the two Oreo cookies he had in this hand. Amen? His son immediately chose what? What do you think he chose? The cookies, right? 4 years old, he's going to go for the cookies, right? He chose the cookies, and his father told him, you know, you could buy a whole bag of Oreo cookies and have money left over if you'd have just taken the $10, right? But his son didn't hesitate. He said, I want the cookies. Why? Because his level of maturity. Amen? Because of his level, he didn't understand the value of the $10, but he understood the value of cookies for a kid, right? He wanted the cookies. Amen? And we see this all too often in the church, okay? A person who can sing is elevated to the position of worship leader, right? They got a heart for it. We're going to make him the leader. A charismatic person is given the opportunities to preach because he's good in front of people. He's good with people. Amen? People are given opportunities to minister to God's people because they have a talent, right? Because they have a talent, even though they may be spiritual babies in their minds and in their faith. Right? And so the church has to ask itself today, does Jesus need talented people leading his church? Or does Jesus need disciples leading his church? Amen? It's the latter, right? The church needs disciples to lead it. Far too many churches are choosing talented people. And we see their growth and we see the numbers and all that, and we think, man, how blessed are they, right? But are they preaching the truth? Are they making disciples? Are they living in the truth? Things we can look at in the church, key components of spiritual leadership in the church would be like a definition and goal. A spiritual leader should be someone who passionately follows the Holy Spirit, right? Follows the Holy Spirit to help others do the same thing. Drawing people to God, not to themselves, right? We see a lot of these health and wealth gospel preachers on TV, and a lot of times they're drawing people to themselves rather than drawing people to the Spirit of God, right? Second, key responsibilities, right? What are our responsibilities? Number one, in the church, shepherding people, caring for and protecting the congregation, right? We know all about that, right, Don? Caring for and protecting the congregation. How about vision casting, right? Communicating where God wants the church to go. That's for all the leadership in the church. Amen? Equipping, right? Preparing all the saints for ministry, right? That's all. We're all the saints. Amen? We should all be prepared when we leave here for ministry. Fourth, discernment, right? We should all understand God's will through prayer. Amen? Through prayer and through constant connection with God, right? That personal relationship that we all need to have to receive His Spirit. Now, a lot of these responsibilities, they can be carried over into our personal lives, right? You don't have to be a servant in the church, amen? And that's what we call discipleship, right? The Great Commission is for all of us. We've all been called to be a witness for Christ when we follow Him, amen? Thank you, Jesus. And then he says in verse 17, he says, because of my care for you and faith in you, I'm going to send you Timothy, my son, in whom I am very pleased and whom I love and who is faithful in the Lord. He is faithful in the Lord. Amen. I found like 300 pictures of Timothy. This was my favorite one, okay? He had a lot of different looks for Timothy, okay? Timothy, though, was sort of like Paul's scout and understudy at the same time. Amen? He would go out before and prepare things and check on people. Amen? Paul could trust him to deliver the message and handle business until Paul got there. And that's what he was going to do this time. Paul was so worried. Amen? He would ask Timothy to go ahead of him, because he couldn't leave yet, to Corinth and try to clean things up and assure them until he could join them in Corinth. Amen? And so in verse 18, he says, he goes on, he says, some of you have become arrogant as if I were not going to come to you, but I will come to you very soon if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant are talking, but what power they have. He's talking about their spiritual, so-called spiritual leaders, that they're worshiping right now. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Amen? So true. And then he says, lastly, he says, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with the rod of discipline? Or shall I come in love with a gentle spirit? Paul, as usual, is going to say what's on his mind. He's not going to pull any punches. Amen? He says, some of you have become arrogant. You got big heads. And you're talking as though you're never going to see me again. But I'm coming. Amen? He said, think again. I will be coming to you very soon if the Lord is willing. Right? If the Lord is willing. And when I come, I'm going to see right through the false religion. I'm going to see right through all that. And I'm going to see what power you guys really have. Do you have the power of Christ? Or do you have some other power? Some other lesser power? So get ready, because Paul the Apostle is coming to town. Right? They like to say sometimes that, oh, Paul's not really an apostle. But guess what? Paul the Apostle is coming to town. Amen? And they're going to see just how spiritual they really are when he gets there. And see what kind of power they have. See if it's real. Because the kingdom of God is very real. Amen? And very powerful. It's not just a matter of talk, he said. It's a matter of power. And he tells them, unlike your false teachers. It's a matter of power. Let's talk about counterfeit money. How many of us have counterfeit money in our wallet right now? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't raise your hand. counterfeit money is lacking in authority. Okay? It looks good, but does it have the backing of the federal government? No. Right? No. A good counterfeiter, though, he can trick everybody into accepting his work as legitimate, right? If it's good enough, right? Unless they got one of those pens that writes on it or whatever, right? But eventually, okay, that money is going to get found out. That fake money is going to be brought before the authorities, and they're going to find it to be false, fake, right? And what do they do with that money? They sentence it to destruction. They burn it. They destroy it. Amen? Likewise, okay, a false gospel lacks something very important as well. It lacks the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a false gospel. The preacher of a false gospel, he may believe it, and he may persuade many people to accept the message, but in the final analysis, there is no salvation in a fake gospel. If there's no cross, there's no salvation. Amen? There is none. He's going to warn the church. He says to the Corinthian church, Paul was going to write to them, to those that had not initially believed in a false gospel, but they like to look good, right? In their robes and sitting in the bema seats of the synagogue. But you see, they were in danger of abandoning the true gospel that they had received from Paul. Amen? They were in danger of losing that. Because they were embracing these erroneous, destructive doctrines. And specifically, some in the church, the worst case was that they were denying the bodily resurrection of the dead. They were denying Jesus. Paul corrected them by defining the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the gospel. That's what he told them. And he warned them. He said, If they didn't hold fast to this, the faith that they were holding was going to be in vain. All in vain without Jesus. He was stating that without the death and the resurrection of Jesus, there will be no power in whatever salvation you think you have. In fact, he said, Christianity itself holds no value without Jesus. It's just another worthless religion. False religion. You see, the final test of wisdom in religion is the power that it has. The power. Amen? And the evidence of Christianity is found in what? It's found in the power of the cross. Right? That's where it's found. They used to have this show called Extreme Makeover. Remember that? Before the not the house Extreme Makeover, but the person, the people, right? And And don't take any offense to this, okay? I'm just going to illustrate it for you. They would take a homely old lady, okay? And they would make her as beautiful as a model, right? They would redo her makeup and all kinds of stuff. Sometimes they would even go so far as to perform plastic surgery to complete this amazing makeover. Amen. They would fast forward to finished product, right? Extreme makeover. But you know, if that woman was ugly on the inside, right? Inside her heart and her soul, and if she had bad habits and hatred in her heart, all they did was change the way she looked. All they did was change her image. Amen. They didn't change. They cleaned up the outside, but what about the inside? Right? They couldn't clean up the inside. You see, everything these lost Corinthians loved about image never had the power to change a life. Right? This was all image. This was all on the outside. Amen? But Paul was saying that the power of the cross of Christ had what it took to change lives. He was reminding them of what he already told them, that the cross would change their lives. It changes us from the inside, right? We know that. As believers, we should know that. God changes us from the inside. True salvation starts in your heart, right? In your heart. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter. Amen? It's what's inside that counts. And so Paul would say in verse 20, what do you want? What do you guys want? Do you want the spiritual father figure who's going to come to you? Do you want the Paul with the rod that's going to smack some disobedience into you? Is that the one you want? Because he'll bring it, right? Or do you want the Father with the spirit of gentleness to come, right? Paul wanted to be the spirit of gentleness, okay? But the rod would never be out of the question for him. Amen? It would never be out of the question. He would bring the rod if he had to. He would say, I leave that decision up to you. You guys choose. Just let my son Timothy know where you stand, and I'm going to be there pretty soon. You can count on that, Lord willing. Paul was facing some challenges here. Paul always faced challenges everywhere he went. Amen? Right? But God gave him the strength to deal with it, right? To endure it. But how do we confront sin? Amen? How do we confront it without anger? How do we face it without saying that we're above it? Right? Without pride, how do we face it? Amen? How do we get people to give their lives for Christ when they think so highly of themselves? Right? When they love the sin that's in their lives. Right? Those are the hardest ones to witness to, right? I've been there, done that, right? How do you witness to someone who loves the sin in their lives? Well, it's a very tough job to do. Amen? It's tough, but any of us can do it through the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that changes them. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Paul knows what he is doing, and he knows this is going to be a difficult task for him. He knows it. Amen? He's got the discernment, but he's just getting started with these Corinthians. Amen? He's just getting started, and he's going to start getting very personal with them and with all of us. Amen? All of us, because chapter 5 is next week. All right? Chapter 5, so get ready. We're going to install seat belts on all the chairs so you guys can lock yourselves in for the rest of the sermon, or the rest of the story, right? Because we're going to start this no-fluff turbulence on Flight 1, 1 Corinthians. Amen? Starting next week, okay? And don't forget, our goal, studying God's Word is to do what? Imitate the Father. Amen? Amen? To imitate the Father of faith in Christianity, and that Father of faith is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So God bless you guys. Put the Lord first, and remember, we are all a walking, living testimony and witness for Jesus Christ when we live our lives for Him. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this message today. We thank You for the reminder, Father God, that it's all about You. It's all about You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to bring others closer to you, to be a witness for you, and to build your church right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right.